Okay, today's daf is Avodah Zarah daf Nun Dalid. We left off in daf Nun Gimel Amid Beis. We're holding up the Mishnah on daf Nun Gimel Amid Beis. So it says the Mishnah, second white line, Nun Gimel Amid Beis. Avodas kocham she'nichuha of deha b'shash shalom muteres b'shash melchama asura. Let's say you have an abandoned Avodah Zarah. So the people who worshipped that Avodah Zarah just left it. So if it's a shash shalom, they left for no apparent reason. They just left it alone. They were moving and they didn't bother taking the Avodah Zarah, didn't fit on the moving truck. So then the Avodah Zarah's mutter, clearly they were mevatalit. But if it was Shas Milchama, then it's going to be Aser, because maybe they were forced away where they couldn't get back to it, but they certainly were not yet mevatalit, and they're hoping when things calm down, they'll be able to return to their Avodah Zarah. The pedestals of kings are mutaros, because they stand them up when the kings pass by. So what does that mean exactly? If you look at Rashi, they would set up these stones on the path that the king would use. And as the king would pass by, they would put an Avodah Zarah on those pedestals. And the king would then bow to those Avodah Zarahs. So why is that? Why are the pedestals themselves mutter? So the Mishnah said, because they're ma'amidinosa, they stand them up when the king walks by. Says Rashi, kolomar, mipreshet sarich la'amida b'shah shamalachim ovrim. Since they need to stand them up when the kings walk by, she'enon mukhanos l'moshav avodzcham kol sha'a. It means they're not really ready for Avodah Zarah to be placed on them at any given moment. They have to first be fixed up. They have to be stood up in order for Avodah Zarah to be placed on them. So therefore, it's only for that one moment. And therefore, it's going to be mutter. It's not going to have a status of an Avodah Zarah. So the Ran writes that these pedestals were not kavua to be considered mishamshe Avodah Zarah, and therefore li alter miyashi minayhu. They are the ovde kochavim are miyash from using it as an Avodah Zarah immediately, and it's considered like an Avodah Zarah sheinichu avdeha, an Avodah Zarah whose worshippers have abandoned it, and it's mutter. Now, what's mashma from the Ran, and really from Rashi also, is that it doesn't need an active form of bittel; it's mutter right away, and that's what the Ritva sounds like also, that it's mutar miyad even before the malachim decide not to take this road, or before the malachim do anything, that it's going to be mutar right away. However, Tosos writes, if you look at Tosos, v'holchem derech acheres, v'akomrim sha'ovdim lo'asam avodzchav mel tzorach ha'malachim, those worshippers who worship it only made it in Avodah Zarah for the sake of the kings. And when the king decides not to go down that path, that's when they're going to be mevatalit, but not a moment earlier. It's not that from the very outset they don't have the chashivos and they're not considered an avodah zarah kavua. In the Rambam, in the Pirush HaMishnayos, he says that when the king when a new king would take over, what does it mean that b'shash hamalachim ovrim, when the king would be over? So all the other Rishonim say it means when the king passes by. Says the Rambam, over means that he's gone. When a new king would take over, then they would establish a new pedestal for the Avodah Zarah. And that's why it's not considered a real Chashva Avodah Zarah, because it's only made Meikara temporarily, and as long as this king is going to be in office. But as soon as he's out of office, the Bimus is not supposed to be in use. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba Amar Rav, Base Nimrod, Harei Kavodas Kochavim Sheinichu Avda B'Shashalom Mutter. The house of Nimrod is considered like an Avodah Zarah whose worshippers have abandoned it, and therefore the house of Nimrod is Mutter. What is the base Nimrod? So Rashi says, Migdal Shabanu Dara Flaga. That's a Daf Yomi coincidence. The Parsha Shavua, we talk about Nimrod, that the actual place, the Migdal that they built in Bavel, that the Dara Flaga built for the Avodah Zarah, Nimrod, Hayim Melech Aleim, Nimrod happened to have been the king over them. So that is considered an abandoned Avodah Zarah, and it is totally mutter. The Tosos Rid says, no, base Nimrod is not that Migdal, it's not the tower of Bavel, it's some base Avodah Zarah that he had in Bavel. Pasuk says in this week's parasha, "Vatirachus mamlachto Bavel, that he originally was the king in Bavel. So he was Ovid Avodah Zarah, as Pasuk goes on to say, Hu Hayu Gibor Tzai L'fnei Hashem, and the Chum Darshan that he was Tzadis Habrios Umamridon Leborei. The Chazal Darshan that he was in Rashi and Chumash says that he would be able to ensnare people in his trap to violate Avodah Zarah. So he was an Ovid Avodah Zarah, so he had some sort of base Avodah Zarah. Weiter in the Gemara, Afal Gav Dechi Badrinu Rachmana Kishas Melcha, Afal Gav Dechi Badrinu Rachmana Kishas Melchamadami, even though when HaKadosh Baruch Hu scattered about the Dara Flaga, that was considered like a Shas Melchama, Ibailu Mahadar Hadar, but they always could have come back to it, and they never came back to it to use it as an Avodah Zarah. Midlo Hadar Betulid Batla. From the fact that they never did come back to it, that's an indication that they were mevatelit. Fine. We then said in the Mishnah that the pedestals of the kings are mutter. And the reason the Mishnah gave is because they stand it up when the kings walk by. Why does that help? Just because they stand it up when the king walks by, that makes it mutter. So since the king could always abandon that road and go with a different road, that's why it's going to be mutter. Says Rashi, the king will abandon one road, go for the other. If it was a real Avodah Zarah that the king took seriously, he wouldn't just abandon the road where they happen to be and go to a different road. So it shows a lack of chashivus. When Ula came, he sat on a pogum bimus. He sat on a bimus that that was broken in some way. It was a dented or missing a piece. Amr Rav Yehuda l'Ula. So Rav Yehuda says to Ula, "V'Rav Shmuel Damri Tarvayu Bimus Shenifkam Aser." Rav and Shmuel both paskin that it's Aser. You're not allowed to sit on a Bimus Shenifkam. So Vafil Mandiyamer Ein Ovdim L'Shavarim. And even if you hold that Ovdei Kochavim typically do not worship broken Avodah Zaras, Hani Mili Avodah Kochavim Dezila B'Milsel L'Mifloch L'Shavarim. That's only Avodah Zara, the actual Avodah Zara, where it's considered disgraceful to go and worship something that's a broken piece. But this isn't the Avodah Zarah itself. This is the platform upon which the Avodah Zarah stands. It's not considered such a bizayon for the Mishamshe Avodah Zarah to be pagum, and therefore it's ovdim, the worshippers will still worship it. So what you're doing is totally wrong. Rav and Shmuel Paskin, you're not allowed to sit on a bimus, even if it's nifkam. So Amar Leis Ulu responded, Man yavlan me'afrad Rav and Shmuel umul'inan ayanin. Well, if only I had the dirt of Rav and Shmuel to fill my eyes with. Meaning, I have a great deal of respect for them. I think they were mamish the gedolei hador. But, HaRabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, Tamri Tavayu, Pimus Shenifka Mutter. But they weren't the only rabbis. Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish disagree. Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish both hold that a bimos shenifkam is mutter. And not only that, v'afil l'mad yamar odin l'shvarim, even the shita that holds that ovdei kochavim do worship broken pieces of an avodah zarah, hani mili avodah kochavim dekivin depolcha zil be'milsa levetula. That's only the avodah zarah itself, that since they've worshipped it, it's a zilzil to go and be mevatel it, so they'll continue to worship it. Aval hani, but the pedestals for the avodah zarah, as soon as it breaks, Shakti Lahayu Maisi Bimus Achrina. They have no emotional attachment to it. They'll cast it aside and they'll go and they'll get another Bimus in its place. So he says, although I have a great deal of respect for Rav and Shmuel, and I wish I could fill my eyes with their dirt, I prefer the Pesach of Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Now that phrase, I wish I could fill my eyes with their dirt, so Pashup Shad is just a phrase. It's just an expression. It doesn't really mean anything lahalacha literally. The Ravid is a tshuva in Tmim Deim, where he discusses a minhag that people had that after the kavura of a mace, they would fall on the floor and they would kiss the dirt of the kever as a way of showing kavod to the mace. And the Ravid says, well, you know, that's it smacks, you know, the question is that it seems to smack of darkei amori and of all sorts of improper types of behavior to act that way toward a mace. But he said, no, it's the derech kavod the mace. And the example is like you find over here where he uses this expression, I would put their dirt on my eyes. What does it mean, their dirt? The dirt of their kever, they were dead already. But that would be a sign of kavod, that you see that it's actually a sign of kavod to do something with the dirt of the kever. Tanya kavasid Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish bimul shenifkam mutter. So we have a brisa that supports Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Brisa says bimul shenifkam is mutter. Mizbeach shenifkam asar achi inati trubo. Now if a mizbeach gets a piece broken off, so then it's going to be aser until your menate truba, until most of the mizbeach is cut up. Hechidami bimus, hechidami mizbeach. What's the definition of a bimus? What's the definition of mizbeach? Amar Rav Yaakov Aridi, Amar Rav Yochanan, bimus seven achas, mizbeach vadam harbe. Mizbeach, we're not referring to the Beis HaMikdash, the mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash, we're referring to a mizbeach for Avodah Zarah. So what's the difference between a bimus and a mizbeach? A bimus is one stone, a mizbeach is many stones, right? So that's how the definitional difference. Amar Chizkiya Micro, what's the pasuk that indicates to us that a mizbeach is made out of many stones and it's going to remain usher until your menatates rove of the mizbeach? So he quotes, the pasuk says, "Bisumo kalavne mizbeach kaavne." Ka'avne gir menu patzos lo yakumu asher v'chamanim. I'ika ka'avne gir menu patzos, if you make it like crushed chalk, like stones that have been crushed into a chalk, then lo yakumu asher v'chamanim, then nothing else is going to ever come of it. Then you know that it's finished. V'ilav yakumu, but if it's not yet crushed to that point, then it's not yet finished. Now, when we say bimul shenifkam is mutter, and mizbeach shenifkam is aser, so the Ritva writes, b'shem Rashi, Shenifka means shenifkam kolshehu, that the begima has to be, even a kolshehu is enough to make a bimus mutter, even if it's a tiny little piece that's missing. So what you have to say is, what do you mean a tiny little piece? It's got to mean that it's a piece that's nearer la'ayin, that's visible to the eye. If it's a kolshehu, but you can't even see it with the naked eye, well then how's the Ovid Kochavim going to know to be mevatalit? The whole point is that once it's nifkam, the worshipper of the Avodah Zarah is going to be mevatalit. It's not going to be chashuv in his mind. Well, he's got to know about it in order for it to not be chashuv. So kol shu has to mean whatever is visible. The Meiri also writes that Lashon Pegima is mashma kol shu, and he says explicitly, lest you say Shemelo roa Pegima ve'echnes batla, maybe he's not going to see it and will not be mevatlet. So the Meiri says, either you can answer that when we say kol shu it means nira la'ayin, or the truth is, the Meiri says, maybe an Ovid Avodah Zarah will pay such close attention to his Avodah Zarah because of his love for his Avodah Zarah that he'll constantly be measuring it with all kinds of sophisticated instruments, and he would notice even the tiniest pegimas. Like Rav Shachter just said recently, just listening to a shiur yesterday online, of a guy comes to him with his tefillin and says, "Is this square? Is it a perfect square?" And Rav Shachter looked at it, took a piece of paper, measured one way or the other, said, "Yeah, it's a perfect square, it's fine." So the guy said, "No, it's not. I know it's not." He says, "I'm a dentist, and I use very sophisticated measuring instruments when I'm measuring cavities and fillings and things like that, and I could pick up on it. I know that it's not square." But the halacha says that it's square, even though you may have very sophisticated machinery. We don't go with all the sophisticated machinery. You go with what the naked eye can see. So as long as the naked eye, but some people may be experts in certain things and may be able to see a little bit more. Now, that's the sheet of Rashi, though, in the Ritva, that even the Nifkam Kolshu, the Ravid writes, Nifkam Rubo, that only if it's a pagam on the majority of it. And that's what the Tosefta says as well. Bimus Shenifkam Rubo is mutter. Now, the Meiri says, yeah, that may be what the Tosefta says, but our Gemara does not sound that way. Our Gemara sounds that from the contrast between a Bimus Shenifkam versus Mizbeach Shenifkam, where the Mizbeach Shenifkam is going to be Aser Ad Sheinatates Rubo, so you see that Bimus Shenifkam is even a Kol Shehu. So you're not going to go with the Tosefta against the Pasha Pshat in how to read our Gemara. Now, when we say the Mizbeach Shenifkam, it's Ad Sheinatates is Rubo, it means Al Yidei Akum, that a guy has to be the one that's Menatates Rubo, because if you don't say that, then it has a din, it's going to be Aser like an Avodah Zarah Shenishtabra Me'aleha. That's how the Kesem Mishnah writes in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Perches Halach Yid Beis. Lech Mishnah asks on him, wait a second, by the Gemara, by Bimus, even according to the sheet that holds Ovdim Leshvarim, the Gemara says, we just read, that the Bimus, they would not be Ovid, because they'll just go and replace it. So how can you say it's logar? It's like an Avodah Zarah Shenishtab Me'aleha. It's not like the Avodah Zarah at all. It's a Meshamshe Avodah Zarah that they're willing to exchange very easily. Okay, says the Gemara further, four lines in now. Tana, Nevad Shelo Aser V'Shel Chaveru Mutter. Nevad, Rashi says, refers to an animal that's worshipped. If you have an animal that's worshipped and you worship your own animal, so it's going to be Aser. You can Aser your own animal by Avodah Zarah by deciding to worship it. V'Shel Chaveru Mutter, but you can't go and worship your friend's animal and make it asr, your friend's animal is going to be mutter if you worship it. Urimin hi ezu nevad kol shov d'masobim shogim mezid ben bonus ben ratzon. We define nevad as something that's worshipped either b'shogeg, b'mezid, ba'ones, or b'ratzon. So Rashi right away says that mezid, and we know the difference between shogeg and ones. Shogeg is you didn't realize it's nevad, whatever it is, you didn't realize exactly what you're doing. Ones is it was a completely out of your control, right? In Hilchah Shabbos, right, we know shogeg is, you know it's Shabbos, you didn't know this was a malacha. You know this is a malacha, you didn't know it's Shabbos. Ones is someone's holding a gun to your head and forcing your hand, right? It's someone takes your hand and puts it on the light switch and the person overpowers you. So that's ones. You didn't, right? So it's totally out of your control. But what's the difference between mezid and ratzon? So Rashi points out there's no difference. Mezid v'ratzon chadahava elatana ratzon etzal ones. That mezid and ratzon are really one and the same in the fourth line of Rashi at the end of the line. Mezid and ratzon really the same thing. We just mentioned ratzon together with, because we mentioned, on the flip side, we mentioned two categories of shogeg and ones. So we give the opposite, the words that serve as the opposites, even though they really mean the same thing. But frankly, Gemara, hai ones hei chidami, what does this case of ones mean? What does it mean that a person was worshipped the animal but ones? Doesn't it mean that you went to your friend's animal and you were mishtachve to it, meaning it's against your friend's will, and yet we see that it's still aser? So says the Gemara. So the Gemara is going to answer. Just if you take a look at... we'll leave it at that. So says the Gemara, Amar Rami Bar Chama, lo, kigon shansu of the kochavim vishtachav lebehem to didei. No, that's not what's going on. It's talking about a case where of the kochavim come, hold a gun to your head, and force you to bow to your own animal. That's the case of onus that we're talking about. So maskefla Rabbi Zera, onus rachmana patre, dichsivu na'alo sasadavri, says, no, but how could we say that it's going to be usher? Don't we have a rule of onus rachmana patre, that when you do something about onus, it's totally, you're totally putter from any sort of onesh. So how could it be that if you worship your animal, but onesh, because someone forced you to do it, that it's going to be usher? Lenar lo sasadavar. Pasuk says that a girl who's raped is totally free of any punishment, because it was onesh, it wasn't her fault. Ella amar Rava, hakol hayu b'chlal lo sa'avdeim. Really, everything was included in the isra of lo sa'avdeim. Ones, ratzon, any type of worship was included in lo sa'avdeim. U'kashapiru l'cha akasa v'chai behem v'lo shiyamus behem, behem yatsa ones. Once the Torah tells us, v'chai behem v'lo shiyamus behem, so now ones was excluded, v'hadu kas rachmana v'lo s'chal l'shem kachi. But then the Pasuk says, not to be m'chal l'shem kachi, da'afilu ba'ones. That includes even a case of ones. So ha'ketzad, is ones included or is it not included? The answer must be, ha'betzina ha'befarhasya. That it makes a difference whether it's privately or publicly. Bifarhesya, we say lo sechalalu, and ones is aser bifarhesya. Even though you did it by ones, it's going to aser it when it was bifarhesya. When it was bitsina, it's going to be mutter. Amru le rabbanu le rava, tani de mesayelach. So the rabbanan said to Rava, we have a riot to you. Bimusia shalovde kochavim bishas hagzera, afal pisha gzera batla, osin bimusios lo batlu. The bimusios of avodazara that were there, that were around through a shas hagzera, even though the gzera is no longer around, those bimusaos are usher, they're not batel. Amr lahu imishim ha lo tesayeh. And he says, no, that's not a riot to me, because emer yisrael mumar hava upalach labaratzon. Because how do you know that a Jew worshipped it only ba'ones because it was a shas gezera? There might have been a yisrael mumar around who worshipped it baratzon. And once it was worshipped baratzon, of course it's going to be aser. So don't bring that as a riot to me, that when a Jew is forced to worship an avodah zarah bifarhesya, that it becomes aser. No, that was because perhaps Jews worshipped it Biratzon. So Ravashi Amar Lotema Ema. Ravashi says, now don't say maybe there was a Jew who was a Mumar who worshipped it Biratzon. Ela Vada Yisrael Mumar Hava Upalach LaBiratzon. It's not a maybe, it's a Vada that there was a Yisrael Mumar who went ahead and worshipped it Biratzon. So that's not, it's a non issue. That's the, but nevertheless, it's interesting. So it's interesting that Rabbanan said to Rava, we have a Brisa that supports you, and Rava's response is, as much as I want my shita to be correct, Rava responds, intellectual honesty, that brisa actually does not support me. That brisa could be understood in another way, that it's Yisrael Mumar who worshipped it willingly. Now, in the in the top, first some Tosos. Tosos Kon Chansu of the Chum Mishtachav of the Behemoth the day, that an Ovid Chum forces him to be Mishtachav to his Behemoth, Pirish Ansuhu. What does it mean, Ansuhu? Says Tosos Sha'amru Lahargo im Lo Yishtachav Emelav. That means that they told him, they threatened him, we're going to kill you if you don't now bow to this. But they didn't actually force his body down. They held a gun to his head and said, you put your body down, you bow. Aval ein lefarish, but you can't say that onus means shekafu kamaso bal karcho, that they physically forced his body down on the ground. They overpowered him and physically forced him down. Dimkein hulo haya osa klum. That's not even called a maisaba ones, because then the guy who's bowing isn't even doing anything. His body is being forced. Elahim asu maisa begufo. They're doing a maisa on his guf. Veino demosu davar sheino shalo. And they certainly don't have the ability to aser davar sheino shalo by doing a maisa on his guf. So he's not doing anything. That would for sure not even be called a vodazar ba ones. Doing a the Zarba Onus means that the situation is one of Onus, but you do the Maisa yourself. If they're forcing you, that's not even called Avodah Zarba. If they're literally physically forcing you, overpowering you, that's not even called Avodah Zarba Onus. Reminiscent of the piece in Reb Chaim, the famous piece in Reb Chaim about Yaharig Val Yavar, where Reb Chaim says that when he's trying to be Mavarim, Machlokas Rosh on the Rambam, he says that if they take a person and they say, look, we're going to kill you if you don't allow us to throw you on the this baby to kill the baby. So says Reb Chaim, in that case, is that considered a Yahari Val Yavar situation where if I allow myself to be thrown on the baby, I'm a murderer, I'm committing the Isra of Ritzicha, Ba'ones? Ba'ones, I'm committing this of Ritzicha. Says Reb Chaim, no, you could say that when they're throwing me on the baby, I'm not the Rotzeach, they're the Rotzeach. I'm the gun, I'm the weapon, I'm just a pawn that they're using to do the act of murder. When is a situation of Yarig Val Yavar where they hold a gun to my head and say, shoot this baby, or shoot this person, or we're going to kill you? Then I would be the murderer. That would be a different situation. So here as well, when they force you down, then you're not the one that's being ovate anything. They're the one that's forcing your body down. Okay, so that's one point of Tosos. Another point of Tosos on the Rabbi Zeira's question, that Onus Rachmana Patre, so Frek Tosos Tema Maika Parich, Nihid Patre Misa B'diyev. We're talking about Avodah Zarah over here. The halacha is, if someone holds a gun to your head and says, worship Avodah Zarah or I'll shoot you, you have to take the bullet. The halacha is that although b'di'evet, you're not going to be chayv misa if you go and you worship the Avodah Zarah in that situation, but you still, it's still aser. So what's he asking, Anus Rachmana Patre? So Anus Rachmana is not really Patre over here, not by Avodah Zarah. So if you look about five lines before the lines get wide, V'nir l'Rabbein Yitzhak Lefarish, T'bein Rabbi Zerah v'Rava lo pligi b'ha, d'l'charchi l'chayev limsar atzmo. Both Rabbi Zerah and Rava agree that l'charchi you do have to give up your life. V'Rabbi Zerah hachi parach. Anus Rachmana Patre d'yeved, d'chsiv l'nar lo sasadavar, afal gav sheyesh lo limsar atzmo, ain less or bishtachvaso, that since b'di'evid we wouldn't kill the guy, that should be enough to not make the item usser as a result of his ishtachva'a. If it was a real full-fledged bona fide isser of avodah zarah, then we would kill the guy, and that then you'd understand it would be enough to make the avodah zarah usser. But if by virtue of the fact that we're not killing him shows you that it wasn't a genuine act of avodah zarah, even though it's usser, he wasn't allowed to do it, but it wasn't a genuine act of avodah zarah, maybe that shouldn't be enough to make it aser. Fine, vayter in the Gemara. Chizkiya Amar. Chizkiya says, no, what's the case? Again, we're going back to Rami Bar Chama that suggested it was Ansu Ovid Kochavim, trying to figure out what's the case of Onus. Chizkiya Amar, Kigon Shenisech Lavodas Kochavim Yayin Al Karneha, where you go and you're Menasech the wine on, meaning what's the case of your own animal that you make the animal, your friend's animal rather, that you can make your friend's animal usser. So Kigon Shenisech Lavodas Kochavim Yayin Al Karneha, where you pour Yayin for avodah zarah on the horns of the animal. So maskvar vad barava hay nevad hu hay bimus biyamu hu visharia. That's not called nevad. That's you're just pouring libations to an avodah zarah and you're using the animal as your altar. But that's not worshiping the animal. Elam ravad barava gon shenisech la. yayin ben karneh da avod b'maisa. Not that you were menaseich la'avodus kochavim yayin al karneh, but you were menaseich la. You're actually doing the nisuch as a form of worship toward the animal. So the animal taka is the avodah zara. V'chiyada asu la'amar b'yochanan afal b'shamra m'shtachav al-behemes chavir lo asra asu b'maisa asra. Why is that? Why am I allowed to make your animal asra by pouring wine on it? Because even though if I'm m'shtachav to your animal, it's still going to be mutra. I do not have the right to make your animal asra. I don't have that kind of authority. But if I do a maisa on it, like pouring wine on it, that's going to be enough to make it asr. Amru Rav Nachman, Poku va'amru, va'amru le'ula, kvar tirgum rafun l'shmaitech b'bavel. Go and tell Ula that we've already been metargim his teaching in Bavel. Damar rafun ha'isa behemes chaver v'utza b'fnei avod z'chavim. If your friend's animal was jumping around in front of an avod zara, kivan sheshachet basimen echad asra. If you go and you are shochet one simen of the animal, just one of the pipes in the neck of the animal, it already makes it asr. Minalan da asra, where do we know that it's that you have the right to make it asr from? Where do we derive that from? Ilema me kohanim. If you want to say we learn it from the kohanim that the Malchei Yisrael forced to become komrim laval dezara, and those kohanim were never allowed to worship to do the avod in the Beis Hamikdash again. So you see from there that even though it was done against your will, it's still going to be aser. V'dilma shayni kohanim tibnei de'aninu. Maybe kohanim are different because they have their own mind and they are able to make up their own mind, but. That doesn't necessarily apply to an animal or to inanimate objects, to objects that don't have das. Now, if you look at Tosos on the bottom, he says the Kohanim Shaasu Maisa Vinesra Afal Pisha Inzu Raya Gemuri. He says the truth is Kohanim wouldn't be a good raya anyway. Jeshema Asu Maisa B'Shalahem, because maybe they did their own their Maisa of Avodah Zarah on their own stuff. We don't know that they were assuring other people's stuff, that they were doing their acts of Avodah Zarah on other people's property. And the whole thing we're trying to prove over here is that you have the right to asur, you have the ability to asur other people's property. So it says, "Mikol makom hachikam rafilu hayudomim laze v'lo asu ma'isa rak b'shalacherim lo ra'yehi." Even if the kohanim did their acts on other people's property, still it wouldn't be a raya because kohanim are b'nei deya. Ve'elam avnei mizbeach. So rather, we derive it from avnei mizbeach, right? That the avnei mizbeach. That the Beis Chashmonai had to be gonez, the Avnei Mizbeach, because the Malchei Yavan were mechalalit. Hi, how could the Malchei Yavan be mechalalit? It's not theirs. Who gave them the... But you see, they did a mice on it. Once you do a mice on it, you can ask for something that doesn't even belong to you. Well, the Dimla Kedrav Papa, but maybe we're assuming that there was a special pasuk to darshan over there, like Rav Papa taught previously, as Rashi fills us in. Damar kra ashkhu vidarush sheyatzu l'chulin v'kanim of the chavim v'yachul asran, that it went out l'chulin of the chavim brought in, and therefore they had the ability to make it aser. The ella or ella me kelim. Rather, we derive it from kelim of the Beis Hamikdash that Achaz ruined. Dichsives kol kelim asher zniach melech Achaz melchuso b'malu echanu v'kdashnu. So when Achaz took those kelim and used them from did he make the maser? V'amar mar. We understood. What does the pasuk mean? Hechanu sheganzum. They had to be gonez those kelim. We weren't allowed to use them anymore. V'ikdashnu sheikdashnu acherim tachteim. And ikdashnu means that they actually had to get other kelim. Other kelim in their place. So you see that those kelim were no longer usable. Why? Even though a person can't ask something that doesn't belong to them, when you do a maisa, apparently it does become asr. So over here as well, once you do a maisa, it makes it asr. And there is a major discussion, we were just discussing ones for a while, the idea of ones, that anus rachmana patre, a person does something about ones, the pater. It's a famous chakir in the Achronim. I think Rav Elchanan has the chakir. Rav Yosef Engel definitely has the chakira in Beis HaOtzer. When we say that someone doesn't get punished for an act that they did ba'ones, is it a maisa avera? It's just we take away the onesh. That it is a maisa avera. It's just that we can't punish you for it because it's totally not your fault. So there's no punishment on any level whatsoever. Now you're not going to even have to pay for lachar me'av esrim. But it's a din that it's not an onesh, but it's still called a shame avera. Or is it not a shame avera at all? It doesn't have a status of an avera whatsoever. L'may nafkamina, whether it's a maisa avera and you're not punished whatsoever, or it's not a maisa avera. So Rav Yosef Engel says the following case. The halacha is that you're not allowed to take for Havdalah on Motzai Shabbos a candle that was lit on Shabbos, because it was lit by avera. What if it was lit ba'ones aliday, a Jew lit it ba'ones? A guy held a gun to a Jew's head and said, light this candle on Shabbos or I'm going to kill you. So the halacha is the Jew supposed to light the candle then. So can you use that candle for Abdullah? If you view it as a ma'is avera, so it was a candle that was lit ba'avera. Otherwise, you can't. Or for instance, Rav Yosef Engel has a creative example that he brings from the Gemara in Baba Kama. The Gemara talks about Shar ha'itzdadnin, the ox that was trained to kill. It's a question, an animal that's trained to kill. So you're going to say that animal is a killer? Or are you going to say that, no, that's total onus. The animal's not a killer. The animal was trained to kill. How do you view Michael Vick's dogs, right? How do you view the animals that really couldn't do any better? That's what they were trained to do. Is it considered to... The halacha is that an animal that's a killer is not allowed to be brought on the Mizbeach. So can you bring such an animal on the Mizbeach? So Rav Yosef Engel tries to make that connection. Of course, there are a lot of, when you're very creative and you think about a lot of all of Shas and you try to apply different cases, sometimes the tzushtels aren't exactly perfect because we're talking about an animal that doesn't have das over here. So the meaning of ones by an animal might be different than the meaning of an ones for a human being. But he says that's machlokas Rav and Shmuel in the Gemara over there in the Gemara in Baba Kama about shar itzdadanin. So maybe you could say that what's the machlokas about? Is it a shema vera or not? The animal certainly can't fault the animal. It was trained to kill, but so it's killing by ones. But is that a shema vera or not? If it's a shema vera, can't be brought on the mizbech. If it's not a shema vera at all when something's done bonus, then it could be brought in the Mizbeach. Okay. Kios Rav Dimi Yom Rabbi Yochanan. Afal Bisham Rav Mishtach V'Lekark Olam Lo Asra. Even though we say that if someone is Mishtach V'Tekark Olam, he doesn't Asra it. Chafar Baboru Sheikh Namaros Asra. If you actually dig something into the ground, you dig holes in the ground, then it does make it Asra. Kios Rav Shmuel Bar Yudom Rabbi Yochanan. Afal Bisham Rav Mishtach V'Vali Chaim Lo Asra. Even though we say someone who's Mishtach V'Vali Chaim does not Asra it. Asan Chalip and Lavod Chavim Asra. If you switch it for an Avodah Zarah, you exchange it for an Avodah Zarah, so then it does become Asra. Kios Ravin Amar Pligubar Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yosef Rabbanan. Wait a second. Switching things, exchanging things for an Avodah Zarah is actually a machlokas. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, and the Rabbanan. Chadam or Chalipin Asurin, the Chalipi Chalipin Mutarin. One Shita holds the initial thing you switch for the Avodah Zarah that you barter for an Avodah Zarah is going to be Asur, but anything that you switch for that item is going to be Mutar. The Chadam Rafilu Chalipi Chalipin Nami Asurin. And the other Shita says, no, it keeps on going. No matter how many, if you barter an Avodah Zarah for wine, and then you change that wine for a TV, you keep going, all those things are going to be Asr. My time at the Mandiyam Chalipi Chalipin Asurin, what's the reason for the Shita that holds Chalipi Chalipin is Asr? Amakrava Yisa Cherem Kamahu, and that we darshan, that means Kol Sha'ata Mahaya Mimenu Harei Kamahu, anything that you bring about from it is considered like it. So anything that you're able to bring into your possession as a result of it is going to be like it. V'idach Amakrahu. Who v'lo chalipe chalipin? The other shita will say no. It says who, which implies the chalipin is asr, but not the chalipe chalipin. V'idach hahumi bayle lebutei arla v'kilei akerem. No, we need that who to teach us that arla and kilei akerem are not that way. Shem machron v'kiddush b'dmei mekudeshes. If you sell arla and kilei akerem, I mean, when it says who, it tells you that dafka v'dazar the chalipin are asr. By arla and kilei akerem, even though they're asr ba'na, if you exchange them for money or for a ring, and then you decide to give that ring to a woman and be Mekadesh with it, it's Mekudeshes, it's still going to work, the Kiddushin is going to be valid. If you look at Rashi Lemutei Arla, a few lines into it, right? V'machra v'kiddush b'demayan mekudeshes. It's going to be a valid kiddushin to lo mitvasi b'isura, because the money that you exchange the arla for does not take on the status of the iser. Umamonahu, and it's just plain money. Afal gav di'u asul l'sanu yiminayu. Even though the guy who owned the arla is not allowed to get hana from that money because arla was asur b'hana for him, so he's not allowed to get hana from that money. Miu ahiyana matila al yidei arla avul ihi lo me arla kamatila, but she does not get the anah from the arla. She's getting the anah only from the money. So for her, it's okay. From her perspective, it's totally fine. So therefore, it could be used as a valid form of kiddushin. Now it's certainly asur midrabanan, right? But still, it's a valid form of kiddushin. Now the Mishnah Melech writes in Hilchos Ishos, Perek Dalet, Halacha Aleph. What if you give something that's asur midrabanan to an isha who's a choloshein basakana as kesef kiddushin? You take something that's asur midrabanan and you give it to an isha that's a choloshein basakana who's allowed to use nisur drabanan because she's a choloshein basakana, and you mekadesh her with it. Do we say that since she's allowed to use it, even though for you it's asur, it's going to be mekadesh? So he brings a raya from this Rashi. Right? Rashi saying the money that you exchanged for the arla, that you got for the arla, it's asr for you, but it's mutter for her. And since it's mutter for her, it's going to be mekudeshes. If you look at Tosos says machum mekidush me mekudeshes. Pirush Rashi v'dafka kiddushe isha avlis hanui asr midrabanan. You're allowed to use it for kiddushin, but you're not allowed to get hana'a from it. Why isn't making a kiddushin a hana'a? So he says, "V'yeshli ten tam ulechalek she'ini isha doma kol kach lechalifei adamim." He says, first of all, no. What it means you're not allowed to get hana'a from it is you can't buy a steak with it. You can't buy something, a car with it, with that money, because that money is being exchanged, bartered for that car, that steak, whatever it is you're buying. When you get married, it doesn't exactly work that way. When you're giving a woman kesef kiddushin, you're not buying her. She'd be way more expensive than whatever you could afford. So you're not buying the woman with the ring that you're giving her. So it's not really similar at all to a chalipin. Inami says Tosfos Mishum Piri Verivya Lo Goz Rabbanan. For the sake of Puruvu, the Rabbanan were not gozer. That the whole list of getting hana from the chalip from the money of Arla is only the Samid Rabbanan. So the Rabbanan were not going to be gozer for the sake of Puruvu, for the Tzorach Mitzvah of Puruvu. Meaning, even if you hold that getting married itself is not a mitzvah, it's at least the Hechsher Mitzvah of Puruvu. And for that sake, it's kedai for the rabbanon to take certain leniencies. V'idach arla v'kilei akerem lo tzricha miyuta. And the other shita will say, no, arla and kilei akerem don't require a miyut. Tavlu avod tzicham v'shvi shnei ksum rabban kechad. Because the idea that iser transfers over to chalipin, to the things that you exchange it for, that you barter it for, it appears in two places in the Torah, by avodazara and by shmita produce. And therefore, whenever the rule is, whenever something appears in two places in the Torah, shnei ksum rabban kechad. We assume the rest of Torah does not follow that rule. So you know on your own, Orla and Kilei Akerem doesn't get transferred over onto what you exchange it for. Where do we find Avodah Zarah and Shemitah that have this rule? Avodah Zchav Madam. So we just said Avodah Zarah. Shvi is tuchsiv, ki yovel hi, kodesh tiyel lechem. Ma kodesh tofes zdama v'asur, av shvi is tofes zdama v'asura. Just like Hekdesh gets transferred over onto the money in his asur, so to Shemitah gets transferred status gets transferred over onto the money and is usher. I.e., my Kodesh Tofis is Dama Vyotzi Lchulin, Avshvi is Tofes Dama Vyotzi Lchulin. But wait a second, by Kodesh, when you transfer it over onto money, the Hekdesh now goes out Lchulin. Should you say the same thing by Shemitah produce? That you sell Shemitah produce, that the Shemitah produce now becomes Mutter? Tamalomer Tiyeh, Bavyasatei. No. The Shemitah produce, Pasuk says Tiyeh. It stays what it is. Hakei Tzad. So how do we make sense of this? Lakach Peper Shvi is Basar, Eluve. If you exchange Shemitah produce for meat, both the meat and the Shemitah produce need to be destroyed during the Shemitah year. They have to be gone. If you then exchange that meat for fish, the meat no longer has the status of Shemitah, but the fish do. You then exchange the fish for wine, so the wine now has the status, not the fish. You get the idea. Okay, son, what's the halacha? The original Shemitah produce always remains Aser. Plus the last thing it was ever exchanged for is also Aser. The other Shita will say, no, Shnei Ksum Ban Kechad is Melamed. There's no halacha that Shnei Ksum Ban Kechad is Ein Melamdin. And therefore you need who to be Memayit Orla and Kilei Akerem. Now the idea of even using Shemitah and Avodah Zarah Shnei Ksum Ban Kechad is somewhat troubling, Tosfos points out, because the halacha by Avodah Zarah, no matter how many things you exchange it for, everything along the line becomes Aser. By Shemitah, we said, only the first and last things on the line are Aser. So how could that be Shnei Ksum Ban Kechad? It's not the same din. Shnei Ksum Ban Kechad means we have in two places where the Torah teaches me the same din. So Tosfos is troubled how we could even think to use this as a Shnei Ksum Ban Kechad. Okay, next Mishnah. Sholos is kingdom Samagavta Gemara. Sholos is kingdom Baromi. So there's kingdom Asram Gamliel in Rome. If God doesn't want Avodah Zarah, why doesn't he just destroy it? He's God. So Amr Lahan, Ilu Lover Shein Sorach Leolam Bar, Hayo Ovdin, Hayim Avatlo, Harein Ovdin, Lacham Lavanu, Kulchavim Lazalos. Yovdu Olamam, Nea Shotim. Think about it. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu were to destroy anything that's useless really in this world that people worship, so then people are going to start worshiping things that are useful in this world. They'll start worshiping the sun and the moon and other things. So what? Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu should get rid of the sun and the moon? He should destroy his entire world just because there are some morons who decide to worship things? So Amru Lahen, so the people said back, the people said back to him, Im Kain, Yavdu, Yavid Davar She'in Sarach Li'olambo. They should, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should at least destroy the things that the world doesn't need. V'yaniach Davar She'in Sarach Li'olambo. And leave aside those things that the world does need. Amru Lahen, the Chacham responded back to them, Afanu Machzikin Yidei Avdei and Shalelu. Then you're going to give, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would be giving, them credit and would be showing them falsely that there is actual koach to whatever they're worshipping. Sha'omim, because then they're going to say, Teidu, Shehein Elo, Sharehein Lo Bitlu. They're going to say, look, all the Avodah Zarahs that weren't effective, God got rid of. But look, the sun is still here, the moon is still here, those must be the real Avodah Zarahs. So in order to avoid giving them this impression, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't destroy any Avodah Zarahs. Tara Rabban, Sholpa, Hosifinus, Zakenim Barami, the philosophers asked the Zakenim in Rome, Imelokechem Ein Ritzon B'Avodah Zarahs, if God doesn't want Avodah Zarah, why doesn't he get rid of it? Same time in the Mishnah. What? Then he's going to get rid of the sun and the moon. And then he's going to destroy his whole world because there are some morons that want to worship. The world has to run the way the world runs, and the morons will have to face their judgment day. If a person steals a seed and he plants it in the ground, it shouldn't sprout, it shouldn't grow. God runs his world, and the morons who do bad things will have to pay the price. A man sleeps with his friend's wife, she shouldn't become pregnant because it's not fair. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. Not only are the Rishonim taking my stamp and making a joke out of it, meaning the Tzelem Elokim that they're putting on people that shouldn't be brought into this world, they're making me do it balkarchi because I don't really want to do it, but they'll have to pay the price eventually at the end of the day for it. Okay, pick up in there tomorrow.